Welcome, everybody, again. So I'll share with you the way I started the adult class this morning. We have hired a minister. A.J. Snavely and his wife, Liz, is going to be with us Monday the 8th. Is that the date? Monday, May 8th, they're going to be moving to Lebanon. And A.J. will be our full-time minister. We've been without a minister for a couple years. And we've been praying hard that God would lead the right couple to us to come and to become a part of our church family and to work with us. And so God has answered those prayers. And so one of the things that I think we as a church family need to guard against is, AJ's here. Now I could sit back and AJ's going to do everything. And AJ and AJ. Now's the time when we got to double down and really think about what we're about as a church family, how we want to take and share the gospel to this community. And so in the adult class, we talked about primal Christianity and what that means and getting back right back to the very roots of Christianity. What did it look like those couple years after Pentecost? And so we're going to continue that study for the next 3 weeks in the adult class. In the sermon, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a church member. What does that mean? Do you just show up on Sunday morning and listen to the guy and hope he has a good slideshow and make you laugh a little bit, and then we all go out the door and call it a day? Or is there something more to that? And so over the next 3 weeks, what I'm going to share with you, I'm going to ask you at the end, I'm only going to share one with you today. I ask you to make a pledge. What does it mean to be a church member? So that's where we're gonna go. I want to start off with some statistics. These are a few years old. These are from the Pew Research Center, and they are not good. 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a rate slower than that of their community. 2 out of 3 of the builder generation, those that are born before 1946, identify as Christians as compared to only 15% of the millennial generation. Between 2007 and 2014, there was a 3.7% decline in weekly church attendance based on poll respondents. So you got to think that that number is even more, because some folks said, I'm not answering that question. Meanwhile, the U.S. population increased by over 16 million during that time period. So what's that tell us? It tells us that people aren't going to church. They aren't identifying with a body of believers someplace. Population is increasing. Church attendance and identification with the church is decreasing. And, of course, we blame that on a whole bunch of different stuff. We say, that's just our secular culture. People aren't interested in spiritual things anymore. The godless politics of our nation. You can't help but turn on the TV or get on any form of social media, and that's wide open for you to see. And then there's the hypocritical members and uncaring ministers that people perceive that that's what they associate church with. I don't want to go there. It's a building full of hypocrites. You know, the ministry doesn't care about me. He only cares about these people or whatever. And that's not what God intends for the church to be. And so I would suggest that over the next 3 weeks that we have no further to look than the mirror. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror. And congregation, churches just like this one here, are becoming weak because many of us have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We join churches expecting others to cater and serve to us, and we don't like hypocrites in the church, but we fail to see our own hypocrisy when we get up in the morning. You know, there on the left, I've had one of those since 1993, and you remember the old jingle of membership has its privileges. I've had an American Express card for a really long time, and the only benefit that I see is that they send me a bill every month. So I'm still waiting to see what the benefit of that membership is. I don't know. But I do know that that many churches are weak because we as members have turned the meaning of what it means to be a part of the church upside down. And I have this question here really got to me as I was kind of putting these thoughts together for today. Why are you in that seat this morning? Why did God place you here? Is it just by coincidence that you happen to walk in the door? Whether you're a visitor or whether you've been here for 40, 50 years, why are we here? You know, the church here went through a tough time the last 2 years. Why do we stick it out? God placed us here at Lebanon Valley to serve, to care for others, to learn, to teach, to give, and to pray for each other. That's why we're here. And so as we start this brief series and thinking about AJ and Liz coming, I would say to you, you know, anything that's wrong, now's the time to get it right. We need to get back to the church that God intended for us to be and members that he intended for us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. As Andrew mentioned, it's beautiful to see your creation bloom in the springtime. Father, we invite your spirit into our hearts right now. We invite your spirit to convict us, to challenge us. And Father, sometimes that makes us uncomfortable. And sometimes, Father, that may even hurt. But we know, Father, that we want to be more like your Son. We know, Father, that each one of us must be spiritually healthy in order for this church to be spiritually healthy and to be what you want it to be. Father, please get my sins out of the way. They are many. And please do not let those things hide your truth for those that are sitting here listening. Father, may we only speak what is in your word and its truth and its simplicity. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. And together we all say, amen. So here's what we're going to try to do. First, two simple things. First, renew our attitude about this church. The joy of being last instead of seeking to be first. Instead of whining and complaining about what's wrong with the church, we're going to be unifiers seeking what's best for the church. And then second, this church is going to begin to change. And it's going to become healthier because each one of us are healthier. And as the church gets healthier, it's going to spread throughout this community. So I'm going to give you six strategies for all of us to do that will positively impact this church here at Lebanon Valley. About 20 years ago, Ann and I took a weekend trip. And we drove up to visit friends of hers in Rye, New York. And we had decided before we went that Saturday afternoon we'd play golf as couples. And so we drove up to Rye and got in the car on Saturday and drove over to Bruce and Coco's Country Club. And it kind of looked like that place there on the left. And so we pulled up and we parked, and I couldn't even get my hand on the door handle, and immediately all four doors opened. There were valets everywhere. Good afternoon, Mr. Lefkowitz. Good afternoon, Mr. Hayes. They knew my name. Anytime I hear Mr. Hayes, I immediately look for my dad because I'm just not comfortable being called Mr. Hayes. I like Roger better than Mr. Hayes. But, well, thank you. So I get out and I go to the back to get the bags, and man, those bags were already out of the truck, or out of the trunk. So Bruce kind of laughed. He said, hey, they'll take care of that stuff. And so we walked into the clubhouse for a tour, and it was a beautiful place. It was just gorgeous. And went downstairs to the locker room, and there were my golf shoes. They were already polished. They were sitting right in front of a locker, you know. And my golf shoes hadn't been polished since the day I bought them, right? I mean, my dad's the avid golfer in the family, not me. So we got dressed. We walked outside, and I said to Bruce, I walked out, where's the bags? Or where's the cart? And he goes, oh, that's down on the first tee. So we go down this little path, and it's like walking through a wildlife sanctuary. It was just gorgeous. Well, we get up to the first tee, and sure enough, there were our bags. There were two caddies there with the bags. And I said, we don't have caddies today, do we? And Bruce said, oh, yeah, this is a caddy-only course. I said, I'll carry my bag. The last thing I want is another person watching me golf. Okay? I'll carry my own bag. I'll carry Ann's. I'll carry all four bags. Get rid of the caddies. Bruce just laughed. Now, Bruce, you have to know Bruce. Bruce is 6'10", and big guy. He gets up to the first tee, and whack, 350 yards right down the center of the fairway. Well, a lot of pressure on Roger. Roger's really sweating. Roger gets up. My whack didn't sound as good as Bruce's, but whack. I stood there. Of course, I had no idea where the ball went, right? I just like acted like I knew where the ball went. And so we started walking after the ladies hit, and we started walking down the middle of the fairway, and I thought, I just assumed, well, Bruce's ball went down the middle of the fairway, my ball must be laying right beside of it. We got there, and as you guessed, there was one ball. Now, I know I hit that right down the middle of the fairway. Where's that ball? And all of a sudden, I hear this, Mr. Hayes! Mr. Hayes! I'm looking around, and here coming, walking out of the woods, is one of those caddies. Over here! Your ball is over here! So, you know, Bruce took his club, and I did the walk of shame over to my ball, which was an impossible shot in the middle of the woods. And throughout the course of the afternoon, Bruce always walked a straight line. And even before he hit the ball, the caddy could give him the next club he was going to use because he's that good of a golfer. Okay? The caddy and me, we walked like this. We played the entire course. That caddy walked probably four courses that afternoon because I just hit the ball everywhere. Later, after we finished up, we went back to the clubhouse and we had lunch. And it was one of those places that you picked up your water and you took a drink and you no more than sat down, they filled it back up again. And it became kind of a contest that I tried to outdrink the waiter who had the water, but he never ran out of water and they stood right behind you. And every time you needed something, it was always right there in front of you. And then it got to the point where I would lunge at the water. And I would see him twitch behind me, like he's going to fill up my glass full of water again. But what taught me is that people, if you pay them enough money, they'll wait on your hand and foot. Unfortunately and tragically, sometimes I think we equate church membership with country club membership, and we have that misunderstanding. And you know, although we aren't here with golf clubs and golf balls and stuff like that, this is my church and I don't even want to sing certain songs. We sing too many songs. We sing too few songs. We challenge our minister and just remember who pays your salary. You know, that comment was made to me when I was hired as basketball coach at Anvil Cleveland. That comment was made to me at a field hockey game before I even started by a grandmother. Walked up to me and said, hey, just remember, I pay your salary. Now, I'll tell you what, it's a whopping salary, let me tell you. But I'm like, what did I sign up for? But anyhow, I've been a member of this church for 40, 50, 60 years. I have the right to do whatever I want. I don't want to listen or contribute to listen to sermons that are this long. What is wrong with that kind of thinking? It's sinful. It's not what God intended for his church. We're going to take a look at New Testament, obviously, talks a lot about church membership. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And chapters 12, 13, and 14 is a portrait of what church membership should really be all about. And starting in verse 12, the body is a unit. It is made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, would it not be for that reason cease to be a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would it not be for that reason cease to be a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You ever play Mr. Potato Head? That's one game that I always wanted when I was a kid, and I never got it. Look what happened to me. Didn't turn out too good, right? But anyhow, I always wanted the game Mr. Potato Head, and whenever I went over to a friend's house or whatever, whoever had the Mr. Potato Head, I always liked that thing. But anyhow, isn't that kind of what Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know, we have all these parts, and when the parts are assembled and they're working correctly, when they're all functioning and working in various ministries, you have a pretty good look at Mr. Potato Head, right? What's it look like when they aren't? They got parts everywhere. Parts doing stuff that they weren't designed to do. Everyone trying to be a nose or mouth or foot. They're all over the place. That's not the picture that I see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I see is membership means that we are different, but we work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know this as the love chapter, right? Hate to break it to you, but has nothing to do with weddings. That's where you always hear it. That's where you always hear ministers speak about it. Paul is writing about church membership here. And he has these words to say in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? You keep record of wrongs? Boy, I do. And mine's a mile and a half long. And I pray constantly to let that garbage go. I have a tough time with that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What would happen in the church if we truly embrace those principles? They'd be looking for a new building, I can tell you that much. Because there wouldn't be enough room in this place to keep everybody. How do you retain your membership at the country club? You show them the Benjamins, right? You pay your dues, you're in. How do you retain your membership and remain a biblical member of the church? You give abundantly and you serve without hesitation. That's what it means to be a New Testament Christian, a member of the church, to give abundantly and to serve without hesitation. Here's unbiblical membership. CEO Christians. You know what CEO Christians are? Christmas and Easter only. Right? Mentioned this in the adult class this morning. A few weeks ago, Ann and I had went away for a weekend. Went away for a weekend together and went to a Florida Georgia Line concert. And I found out that that I know more of their songs than what I thought I knew. And I got to tell you, a lot of their concert was faith based. There were elements of faith in there. They discussed the respect and the love that they had for their wives, and it was great. There were also parts in there that weren't so great, right? And there's a popular song out that says, "Curse on Mondays and pray on Sundays. That's how we roll." That's not how God rolls. That may be how Roger rolls. Roger shouldn't roll that way, right? That's unbiblical membership. Donating without lifting a finger to the ministry. Now, if I put a couple dollars in the plate, I'll be good to call it a day. No. Putting in time on Sunday, I'll go and check out and see if he has some nice slides, and hopefully then I'll leave. That's unbiblical membership. This approach to membership is man-made. It's not biblical. It's totally contrary to what the Bible teaches, and it has absolutely no place in this church or any other church. Biblical membership, give without qualification. Serve and giving is seen as a joy, not a hassle. There's never any strings attached. Serving and ministering becomes a natural way of life for each one of us. Just not AJ in 3 weeks. Each one of us. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's metaphor of a body. The body, you know, first it's united as a whole. We need to be united. As we start to think about the ministries that we need to put in place to supplement what AJ is going to be doing, we need to be united. Our mission, our purpose, our ministries, our activities. And the body's not only united, but it's made up of many parts. You know, God put us here for a reason. God gave us all different talents, different gifts, for a reason to be used for His glory. Here's the interesting thing. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he mentions a foot, an eye, a nose, an ear, a hand. All those parts are supposed to function. They're supposed to work towards something in common, right? The concept of an inactive church member, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. Biblically, there's no basis for an inactive church member. There are none. We all have a job to do. We all must be functioning members. One of the ongoing questions that I've been trying to ask myself, and to ask God for is, how can I best serve the Lord's church? And let me tell you, sometimes it's inconvenient, and sometimes you don't like the answer. You know, I didn't plan on being up here today, but I prayed about that, and the first answer I got, I didn't like. I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it. But I think that's what God wants me to do. And so that's what I need to do, whether or not it's convenient for me or not. Church membership. As we go down this path together in the upcoming weeks, let's take a look at our gifts. There's a lot of gifts, a lot of talented people in this church. Let's look at those gifts. Let's see how best we can use them for God's glory. Okay? Every one of us has a function. Every one of us has a job to do. Doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is, every one of us has a job to do. For the church to be healthy, everyone must function, and everyone must be spiritually healthy. So, here's another sad statistic. Most church roles are inflated by a factor of 3. I think it's higher than that. I think it more goes to the 80-20 rule. I think 20% of the people do most of the stuff, and 80% don't. Okay, this statistic says that people that are asked or surveyed, are you a member of a church? If 300 of them say yeah, there's only 100 that really are. Okay. Here at Lebanon Valley, we need to pledge to be different. We need to be the exception to that statistic. Here's the first pledge. Today, we all commit to be a functioning church member. That we're all going to be spiritually healthy. That we're all going to be in His Word on a daily, regular basis. Whether it's one verse in the evening, whether it's whatever that looks like, we all need to be functioning church members. I'll give you one of the ones that I'm personally working on right now that I have failed miserably at. When those doors are open, I need to be here. And I haven't been. I need to repent of that. I need to fix that. I need to change. I need to be here to grow, to support my brothers and sisters. We need to give cheerfully and give abundantly, and we need to serve and minister without hesitation. No strings attached. Doesn't matter what happened or anything. From here forward, that's what we need to look like as functioning, spiritually healthy church members. Next 2 weeks, we're going to go over five more of those in preparation for a new chapter in this church's history. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much once again for being our God, for loving us, for being patient with us. Father, we pray that we will bring honor and glory to you. We pray that we will not waste the salvation, the gift of your Son, that we will rededicate, refocus ourselves to serving you and being active in your church. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, and we all say, amen. Hey, we always have a tradition whenever we get together. If there's anyone that has not been baptized for remission of sins, we can take care of that right now and baptize you into Christ. If there's something, a special need that you want your brothers and sisters to know about, we can pray for you right now at this time too. While together we stand and sing.